never fail. It goes beyond the feather star and reaches to the lower cell. The chorus goes, O love of God, how rich and pure, how matchless and strong. It shall forever more. It shall forever more the saints and angels song. As you sing it, we all come. Hallelujah. If you're not sure of the center, you just hear the center and join me on the chorus. And meditate on the word. Father, we pray that your grace will manifest in a special way in our lives this morning. Let your grace, Father, be revealed in our lives, that all of us may find our position in your kingdom. Let your love fill every heart, your love fill every mind, your love fill our spirit, soul, and our body. Cause us, Father God, to abide, to live in your love. And thank you, Father God, that in your book and in the spirit realm, every need has been met in Christ. Every sickness has been healed in Christ. And every demon power has been broken in Christ. We thank you for your grace in our life this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The love of God is greater far than some of us can ever tell. It goes beyond the farthest star and reaches to session that we will have because of some things that we want to do this morning. So we will look at the principles of grace, how grace operates in our lives, as it will relate to what we are going to do immediately after the Word of God is ministered. This morning, God's presence is here. If you believe it and if you understand grace, you need not remain in your sickness. If you understand the grace of God, you will never be sick again. If you understand the grace of God, you will never be in want or in need. You understand grace. What we sing about the love of God, greater far than tongue or pain can ever tell. It reaches to the furthest star, reaches to the lowest hell. This reaching out of His goodness, this reaching out by the Almighty God, is great operating. For God so loved the world. He so loved. The Bible did not say that He just loved. He was so much in love with the world. His heart grieved when the world was in sin. He so loved with all of His heart that He gave His Son Jesus Christ. That is the grace of God. When we talk about grace, we have to define the word grace. The word grace is a Christian word. The non-Christians have the word grace, but they do not understand it in the fullness of it. And sometimes in Christianity, we use so many of these religious terms. They talk about being born again, we talk about the atonement, sanctification, justification, righteousness. And when an unbeliever comes, as someone who has not attended any church before, they wonder what all these words mean. In fact, it has reached a point in churches today that perhaps we need to give a dictionary to newcomers. We talk a different language. It's okay to live a different lifestyle. But I believe that the key in grace, the key in God's love, is that God wants to communicate. He wants to communicate to every single creature that He loves them. And He needs to communicate it in a language they can understand. That is the reason why Jesus came down, in order that we may understand the Father and how much He loves us. And the Holy Bible was not written in a special church language. The Hebrew was a common Hebrew of the people on the street. The Greek was not classical Greek. There were two kinds of Greek in those days. Classical Greek and common Greek. And the New Testament was written in common Greek. God wants to communicate in the language of the people on the street what He means. And one of the most important aspects of the Christian life is to understand grace. What does the word grace mean? And I said, I prayed, I sought God, I said, Lord, is there a word in a common human language of the people on the street, on the highways and on the byways? A word that we can convey the meaning of the word grace, G-R-A-C-E. And I searched and looked and studied. No word could come close to it, but there's one that could convey a certain part of its meaning. And that is the word gift, G-I-F-T. Gift. Grace means a gift of God coming into our lives. And everywhere that you read the Bible word grace, if you replace it with the word gift, you would see something clear and not just say the word grace, 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 and you don't know what it means. All of us say grace over our food. How many say grace over your food? All who didn't say grace over your food, don't put your hands up. What do we say when we say grace over our food? Reminds me of a time when the family was going to say grace, and the father said, "Let's say grace." So the little child was very hungry. Say grace. Went ahead and eat. Now saying grace is not just saying grace. It means acknowledging that the food was a gift from God. The word gift in the common language of man conveys the word grace very much. The gift of God to us. The gift of God. How would grace affect us? Let's look at some Bible passage. In the first principle of grace that we want to understand, no man can be what he is, who he is, do what he wants to do without grace, the gift of God. John chapter 3, verse 27. That's the first principle of grace. John chapter 3, verse 27. John the Baptist made this statement when they were asking him about the Lord Jesus Christ. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven." A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. Now let's read another passage. In 1 Peter chapter 5, there are several points on the principle of grace, principles of grace, but we will focus especially on this first point. 1 Peter chapter 5, chapter 5. Towards his conclusion, this is what he says. In verse 6, 5 and 6, the last sentence of verse 5 and then to verse 6. God receives the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Memorize it. Say it after me. God receives the proud, and gives grace, and gives grace, and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. No man can receive anything, no man can receive something except it be from God as a gift. A man can receive nothing, God says, except it be given to him by God from above. There are two areas of grace. One is a general grace, the other is a specific grace. One is a general grace, the other is a specific grace. General grace is
where everybody can have it. Specific grace is where God has ordained, predestined what He wants out of our lives, and He has reserved grace for it. Now it's time for you to understand that when we use the word grace. But here's where the word gift will help us. Let me put it this way. Replacing the word grace with the word gift. There is what we call general gift. General gift. That God gives to all men. Then there's a specific gift that God gives to specific individuals. Now under general gifts are the natural things that are around us. Life, rain, all the goodness of the earth. All these come from God. God made it. He owns it. He allows us to use it. These are the general areas. Within this general area, we can divide it into two parts. One part is to all men. To all men. Everything you have to eat, to wear, to use. All that is in this natural world. All the resources of men. All the properties in the world. Everything belongs to Him, and He gave it to men to use it. The rain from on high, the sun in the morning, the moon and the stars to brighten the darkness. All these are general gifts He gave to men that is to all men, irrespective of whether those human beings return the love to Him or not. Irrespective of whether the human beings will come to Him and say, "Thank you, God." Irrespective of whether the human beings say, "I don't believe there's a God." Irrespective of whether the human beings call God. Because the Bible says God gives rain to the just and to the unjust. Why does He do that? Because of His love for every single human being. He loves every single human being. No matter what man is doing, He loves and He continues to allow the rain upon them. They use all kinds of things. All the inventions of men are based on natural products that God has placed on this earth. And it's sad sometimes because human beings are using God's creation without knowing the Creator above. It's a general gift. The second part of the general gift is where He says, "You can know Me." I have given a general gift too. Another general gift. And this is the knowledge of Me. And this comes through Jesus Christ. So the Bible declares, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever," say whoever, "whoever," whoever means me, say whoever means me, and then turn the one on your left and say whoever means you, turn the one on your right and say whoever means you, turn the one behind you and in front of you and say whoever means you, and whoever means everybody. Whoever, we are the whoever's. You got your tongue twisted. Whoever. Now the Lord is saying, whoever believes in Me shall have eternal life. So all of us, if we want to, can receive this grace, can receive this gift of eternal life that He gives to all men everywhere. And this gift of eternal life, it is His grace. His grace is His gift. The gift is His grace. This gift that He gives generally to all men, if we will respond to Him, life will be richer. Life will be fuller. Life will be more meaningful. Life will be more purposeful. Literally, if you don't have anything to live for, all you live for is eat, play, sleep, and wake up, work again. It's a vicious cycle. But when you come to know the purpose of the Creator, when you come to know the Creator who created all things, life becomes fuller because the meaning is there now. The meaning is there now. So somebody says, I don't believe there's a God. Everything happened by accident. Boom. And He called all things into being. Everything just happened by accident. One fine day there was a little creature. This creature was looked at an amoeba. One day he decided to grow legs. And one day the tail dropped off. And then he started walking on the land. One fine day, the creature decided to stand up. And one fine day, the creature got bald and set the hair on the top. That's what the evolutionists tell you. And he said, isn't there a purpose behind it? No, it's all by accident. Somewhere, somehow. Que sera, sera. You know that song? What will be. That song was the daughter asking the mother, saying, will I be beautiful next time? The mother said, que sera, sera. You may be ugly like toad. You may be pretty like a flower. But what will be. If you are toad, be happy as a toad. That's what it means. Sera, sera. You know, it all just happens. It's all fated. You cannot do anything but just say, well, that's it. All fated. What will be all by accident. That's what they tell you. It just happened. And the funny thing is that up to today, they could never show or prove how one species can cross to another. They could never prove that. And you know why up to now they could never find a missing link? Have you heard that? The missing link? Because it's missing. There's no link. So they could never find it. One fine day, one man found it. They said, I got it. 20 years later, they said, we discover that was the tooth of a wild pig. Have all kind of problems. The Bible says in Genesis 1, God made all creatures to produce after its kind. They could never have mingling among the species. Between the species, only within the same species. It was God's law. And something else, evolution did not begin in the beginning of time. The what they call survival of fittest did not start. All the struggles, all the difficulties, not evolution from one species to another. But there's a struggle among the creatures for the fittest to survive. It started with the fall. When God created Adam and Eve, when God created all the creatures, they were perfect. There's nothing more that you can add to them. But when Adam and Eve fell to the lowest part of the earth, that was how you see the world today as it is. The animals went wild. Everything went wild. And it was wild. The lions, the animals, the carnivorous animals that you study in biology were once upon a time herbivorous. and the mosquitoes to entertain you in the night time. Once upon a time, probably a very good singer. Sing you to sleep. But sometimes after the fall, they decided to do more than singing. And after the fall, all the plants, all the things and beautiful flowers that you take start having thorns. I see Adam plucking a flower for Eve before the fall. Here, Eve. Smell it? Nice. She says, lovely. After the fall, Adam did the same thing. Pluck the flower. Give it to Eve. Here, Eve. Here's it again. Eve says, thank you. Ouch! What's that, Adam? You look closely. The thorn. Thorn, thistles, weeds, all started after the fall. So scientists are looking at the world after it's fallen. And so there's no such thing as an evolution theory, because it does not happen by accident. Anybody here has a watch? Well, just look at your watch. Hurry up and look at your watch. If you don't wear a watch, look at the one next to you. Don't covet for it. Just look at it. Now, that watch, if somebody tells you, friend, it all came by accident. One fine day, one piece of metal that side, the stone was rubbing it, and that here the wind was doing it, here the fire was happening on it, and accidentally it came together. And we have what we call a watch. Sounds silly to us. But now, the whole world, with all its natural laws, with all its harmonies, the planets moving in harmony, all the universe and the solar system moving in harmony, moving in its designed path, the seas, the tides, all of the world in its perfect harmony, more complicated than its watch, and they say it was an accident. God looks down and sees the foolishness of men. There is a creator. And this almighty creator says, I love you and I give you a free gift to know me. For Jesus said in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus says. And this eternal life is for everybody. The Bible says, whoever wants, receives. And then, it's more than that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 tells you that Jesus, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Jesus says, whoever wants your meat, I will take care of you. I will meet your need. For Psalm 23 verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. All our physical problems, all our soul problems started because it was a spiritual problem. Man fell into spiritual sin. Then all our problems started. Therefore, God says, when I bless you in the spirit, when you receive eternal life into your spirit, you can receive physical healing for your body. You can receive material needs, material blessings for your physical needs. Notice the word in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. Then quickly, verse 9. faith. For you know the, what's the word there? Shout it out. Shout it out. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. That you through his poverty might become rich. It is the grace of God, he says, I'm your shepherd, I will meet all your needs. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. There is his gift. For you know the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's grace. For you know the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. A gift is something you receive freely. A gift is something you receive without deserving it. A gift is given not because of who you are. Anything you receive because of who you are is not a gift, it's wages, payment. But a gift is given based on the giver, the good happiness of the giver, the feelings of the giver to you, the love of the giver to you. There was one parable that many people find hard to understand. When Jesus talked about how the laborers were in the field, and he agreed with them to give them 1 denarii a day. And so they were working under the hot sun. Jesus agreed, the master of the field agreed with the workers and said, I'll give you 1 denarii a day. And then his master went out and he saw some in the late morning and said, what are you doing? They said, nothing. Go into my field and I'll pay you what is your due. Then he went around again and he went in the afternoon and he saw again another batch of people doing nothing. He said, what are you doing? And he said, they are doing nothing. Go into my field and I'll give you your just due. And towards the late afternoon, he went out. The master went out and he saw another group of people doing nothing. He said, what are you doing? You're doing nothing. Go into the field and I'll give you a just deal. So at the end of the day, payday comes. Payday comes. And so all the laborers will line up. And all these last ones came forward first. And Jesus gave them 1 denarii. Each one 1 denarii. I mean, the master gave them 1 denarii in the parable. And then, the first one said, they have 1 denarii, we're going to have more, maybe 2 denarii. And when their turn came, the master gave them 1 denarii. And that's the part that they said, how can that be? We work the whole day. We work the whole day. In the heat of the sun. These people came late. 1 denarii. 1 denarii. And the master said, why are you evil? Because I'm good. Because I'm good, I feel like giving it to them. It is gift. It is a gift. Yours is payment. Theirs is grace. Yours is the law. You know what the law, the master is saying through that parable? These are the last days. The time of the harvest is ripe. Because of the lateness of the hour, because of the darkness of the day, because of the urgency of the time, God is calling laborers into the field. All kinds of laborers. Laborers who look on and say, they are not worthy. People, the scum of the earth. God is calling for the foolishness of the earth. God is calling forth. And these in the last days, God gives grace, for the word of God declares in the book of Romans, where sin abound, grace much more abound. And the basic fact behind grace and gift is the heart of the giver. In these last days, God is reaching out and giving grace. Grace that some of us look at our own lives and we say, God, I'm not worthy. God, I don't deserve that kind of anointing that Elijah paid so hard to get. God, I don't deserve it. I'm not like Jeremiah. God, I'm not like Ezra. God, I'm not like Moses. God, I'm not like this. No, no, like those people pay a heavy price. Here we are in these last days, born again 1 year, and the anointing of God comes on you more powerfully than it can come on them. You say, God, what is this? The grace of God. And there was the word of God given by some that in these last days, God is going to restore all the mantles, the anointing that He has given to this Old Testament saints. In different generations, He's going to take all of it and come to the last hour and put it on the people. Put it on the people. All the mantles of the Old Testament are going to fall on the New Testament people. All in one age. Think about it. If you have a generation where Moses is around, where Daniel is around, where Elijah is around, where Elisha was around. I mean, they were scattered through the Old Testament, right? They were scattered through different generations. But in these last days, God is going to pick up all those mantles. And He's going to put it on the last day, saints. The last hour and the last days, you're going to have many Daniels talking about, many Elijahs talking about, many Elishas talking about. He's going to put the mantles on the last hour. His grace. And it's in His grace to all. And the word of God says, if anyone be sick, let him go for the ambulance. It's good. James 5. If anyone be sick, let him call for the elders of the church and they will anoint the person with oil, and the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. Mark 16 verse 18. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. By His stripes we were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Matthew 8:17. He took our infirmities and our sicknesses. Now healing is free grace for all. Healing is free grace. Free gift to all. In Christ you have it. And this is the general area. The general gift. The general grace. That He has given. Then on this side is a specific grace. That's important. And the principle we brought forth just now. A man can receive nothing except it comes from God in heaven. Think about it. Every talented musician in the world who do not know Jesus, their talents came from God. Everyone in the world successful, whether they know God or don't know God, general grace was on their life. Think about all the human beings on the earth. You know how we are existing? By grace. Human beings know the torment, the torture, the difficulty, the struggle is for one moment the natural laws begin to go berserk. Droughts will happen. Famines will happen. Whole nations can be wiped out. The mercy, the grace of God, keeping it all going. Specific grace is a different area. Where God has given talent and spiritual gifts and calling. There are two sections. One is a natural section. The other is a spiritual section. where God gives you talent and where God gives you gifts and calling. Two areas. Can you see that? Let me outline it so clearly for you. Specific grace on my right, general grace on my left. General grace is divided into two parts, natural man and spiritual man. To all men, to those men who come to Jesus. On specific grace, there is specific natural talent that God has gifted. From time to time on this planet Earth, God has put gifted men in the natural sense. They're gifted sometimes with a natural ability. They're gifted in some ways. And in my conversation and talk with Jesus, there was some area that he showed that I never saw before. He says under the talent area, remember I'm not talking about spiritual gifts. Under the talent area, there are five categories of human minds that God gave. One is the analytical. Two is the artistic, musical, artistic. Three is the mechanical. Five is the physical development. Four is the physical development. Fifth is the relational. So what is all that? Some people have a natural talent for analyzing. Some don't have. This is talent, not gift. Not the gift of the Spirit, but the implanting of God. Second, some people have a tendency towards the artistic side. A tendency, I call it. I use the word tendency, talent, all these things. Some people have a mechanical engineering kind of mind. I mean, they can take whatever is there and make something out of it. It's there, it's in them. But they're not good at analyzing. I think to analyze, they're not good. But you give them something with their hands, they will work something out with their hands. Some people have a natural talent in physical development, those sport achievers. Let me give samples of these people. Great analyzers, the great mathematicians in this planet Earth. Great analytical philosophers in the human sense. Second group of people, the artists. These are great painters, those who think in abstract terms, those musical people. You ask them to read a philosopher's book, they think. Things done. But artistic camps, they are there. Now this, if you understand, it will help you on the spiritual side, which you're going to. Third, engineering, mechanical. These are the people who take the discoveries of science and they make something out of it. The knowledge and the scientific discovery is there. But these are what we call the technologies, the technocrats. They take the available technology and make something out of it. It's all there, but they have a knack of doing it. Then fourth is physical relationship, the physical development. These are those great sportsmen, those who do extremely well. They not only play badminton, they win badminton. I play badminton, but I always lose. I swim, but don't challenge me, I wouldn't win you, in that sense. But there are some people who have a knack in that area. They develop their special knack in developing the physical body, and they become great achievers in that side. Great sportsmen. They even make a living out of it. A boxer. They have to train. They have to master the stamina in their body. If you train a boxer, you find some of his brain cells died. Too much boxing. And the fifth area, those good in relational mind. Now some people, you talk about analyzing, they're not good, or all these other areas are not good. But they have a knack of moving about with people. They have a knack about being nice friendliness. And they can go about, you know, very friendly, and they draw people out of their shells. And these are those, many times these become politicians. Many times these people become diplomats. I mean, they're good in relating. These are the negotiators. Sometimes there's a mixture of all these, right? These are not strict 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got one, you don't have the other. There can be a mixture, but there can be one tendency standing out. This is the specific natural talent that God has planted on this planet Earth. But talent cannot save you. And your talent may never develop to the area where God really wants you to. For example, you can be a very good musician, but you could be a singer in the pop club. Use all your talents for the devil. What a waste. When you turn it to God, you could bring it all to God. That's what we mean. All these are talents that originally was a gift of God, the grace of God. Specific talent. On the specific spiritual side, the Bible tells us about the calling of God in our lives. All of us, in a general sense, are general practitioners. We can lay on the sick, cast out devils, minister the word. But there are specific callings that God gives. Apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers. All the specific gifts. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Different ministries. And again, we talk about grace. Romans chapter 12. Quickly now, Romans chapter 12. And we will look into verse 3. Verse 3. For I say to the, what is that? Say it out. Shout it out. Lady, shout it out. The man, shout it out. All together, say it out. The grace given to me. Now you can read it. I say to the gift given to me. The gift of God. To everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing, making you different from one another. Having then gifts differing. Remember how grace and gifts are related? They are related. According to the, what's that word? Shout it out. Shout it again. Now here he says, gifts differing in our life according to the grace. See, God gives individual specific grace in different areas. According to his callings, according to his will, according to his purpose. For 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, the Holy Spirit works as he will, not as you will, not as I will, not as man will, not as your father will, not as your mother will, not as your own will. The Holy Spirit works as he, God's will. And he gives grace. Different gifts operate in your life. He gives grace. He gives a gift. Then he says, to some prophecy, etc., etc., etc. Many different callings. Then the gifts of the Spirit. Again, they talk about grace. Remember how Paul, when he's saying in Galatians chapter 2, he says how that when he met Peter, James, and John, who happened to be pillars in the church, that when they perceived, when they saw the grace of God in me, Galatians chapter 2. They gave me the right hand of fellowship. Because they recognized Paul as an apostle. They recognized the grace of God in his life. What are we saying in all these things? God has specific grace in your life. He has a general grace to everybody. For by grace you have been saved, and that not of yourself, but it's a gift of God. See, grace and gift go together. For by the gift of God you have been saved. There is general grace on the spiritual side. Grace for everyone. And then there's a specific grace that God gives to each one of us. But this is an important point we bring out in John 3 verse 27. A man can receive nothing except that it comes from God. I don't care what you do on this world. I don't care whether you know God or you don't know God. But what you have, your talent, your gift, your intelligence is from God. Whether you know it or not. And it doesn't matter where you stand in society. It doesn't matter where you are. We must acknowledge that God gave it to us as a gift. For when you were a small little baby, you could not choose yet. You could not decide what you want to do. You could not decide whether you want to be a doctor or a lawyer. You could not decide what you want to do. God gave you talent, and God gave you gifts inside your spirit. And when you're baptized in the spirit, your spirit becomes released. See, the baptism in the spirit brings forth a new language. Your spirit breaks out, pray in a new tongue. And then the spiritual callings and gifts can operate in your life. But that is connected to 1 Peter 5, where we read, God receives the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He says, therefore let us humble ourselves before the Almighty God, the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time. Every step up in achievement in life, whether it be a natural achievement or a spiritual achievement, is an impartation of a greater measure of grace. That's so powerful. Let me put it again. Here I am, supposing we start here, right? We are on this plateau. We are on this level. I want to climb on the next rung. I want to go up. Some people try to go up without receiving grace, without receiving favor from God. So they try to climb up by their strength. They struggle in society. They struggle to do something in life. They struggle in the spiritual life. When they get born again, they also struggle. They say, oh my, Christian life is a struggle. Oh, life is a struggle. Oh, life is so difficult. Why? Because they have not received grace. Specific grace. You may have even achieved and received general grace, but to achieve the specific will of God in your life, you need specific grace. The general grace is the general will of God. The specific grace is the specific will of God in your life. We know God wants all to be saved. That's general. But what does God want you to do? That is his perfect will in your personal life, not for another. And so, here we are on this plateau. We are on this level. And we want to reach up. We want to go up. Have you noticed? Promotion does not come from the east or from the west. From the north or from the south. I mean from the south. It talks about three areas only. Let me repeat that correctly. Promotion does not come from the east or the west or the south. Promotion comes from God. Some of these scientists have been looking into those telescopes, and they look into the northern regions of the universe. and they saw something there, but they do not know what it is. In the book of Psalms, it says, the song that we all sing, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." On the sides of the north. Then maybe a geographical location towards that direction, but you are seated in the heavenly places now. Right here now, God. There's no distance in the spirit realm. It's only the natural realm that sees the distance. Now here we are on this plateau. There's no way you can get up to this without receiving grace. Let's put it in layman's terms. There's no way you can receive up here without receiving a gift from God. That's grace, that's gift. Grace is a part of the mercy of God, a part of His favor. There's no way you can go up unless the grace of God comes. And here's where people struggle. God did not give them the grace. They have not obtained the grace yet. So by their strength, by their power, but not by the power of the Spirit, they, and they almost got it. They say, boom. And you will cry, timber. They never could stay. Why? Because they have not received grace. It's not just a spiritual discussion. You need grace in your natural life. You need to receive grace. But here's how, if you know how to do it, you obtain favor from God. Humble yourself. Every step up is in the presence of God first. Unless you receive it from God first, you cannot receive it in the sight of man. Unless you receive it in the spirit realm, you cannot receive it in the natural realm. People try to receive it in the natural realm before they receive it in the spiritual realm, so there's a big struggle. Unless you touch the spirit realm and receive it from the Almighty God, our loving Father, you will never be able to climb up. But supposing you're faithful, you're obedient, you receive grace from God. There's a spiritual impartation into your spirit. Something comes within you and it makes you bubble up. The devil tried to push you down. He said, bubble. The devil tried to push you down. He said, Have you ever tried to push a float into the water? It's not easy. I mean, when grace is on your life, they push you. You say, ba 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 ba. They tried that on Joseph. Joseph, remember, received grace. God has special grace on his life. See what grace do to you? When grace is on your life, when the gift of God is on your life, he had a specific grace, specific gift, specific calling, specific ministry. God even revealed to Joseph when he was young what God wants him to do. God revealed to him about the sun, moon, and stars. God revealed to him about his position among his brothers. Not because of who he was, but because God loves him, God gives a gift. Now God gives a gift to everybody. You just have to discover what is yours. The brothers will discover what is theirs. Instead of looking over the fence and say, his grass looks greener. Let's put poison on all his grass. They should discover what is their land to do. He plants corn, you plant maize. Same, right? Oh, you didn't realize that. Great. So they took Joseph and they stripped him and they tie him, they left him in a pit, and he cried. The Bible says he cried for them to let him go. He was favorite son. And by the way, you know why there was such family problem? Because Jacob loved his children wrongly. If you have more than one child, don't love one above the other. You break God's covenant. Second problem Jacob saw in his family, because he had more than one wife. He never succeeds. The whole Bible tells you. Some people say, hey, the Bible says you can have more than one wife. Yeah? He also says you can have more troubles. Every single man with more than one wife always has his troubles multiplied. You can find it in the Bible. Solomon almost lost his salvation. David had family problems. Every single one of them. God intended one Adam, one Eve. He did not say Adam and two Eve. He made one Adam, one Eve. He also didn't make Adam and John in the Garden of Eden. No, none of that kind of gay business. Now, poor Joseph was here on this plateau. The grace of God was that he be here. But the human being said, no, you go down. And they took him, they sold him as a slave. You cannot start any lower in life. You think you're low in life, you think you're down and out, you haven't known what a slave is like. You not only have no money, you not only have no clothes on your back, he don't even have the clothes on his back. That's all he has is a loincloth. And a miserable one at that. He don't even own his own body. As a slave, his body belongs to somebody else. His soul, like cattle. How low can you start in life? He started low. But I want you to know, if the grace of God is on your life, there's nothing that can keep you down long. Devil tried to put him down. Something in Joseph said, ba 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 ba. The devil was very angry. And so this time he worked with Potiphar's wife. He did something to Joseph and said, and down he goes. Now how do you sing in the water? And here he was. Start again, prisoner. Criminal in the eyes of people. I want you to know he was accused of a very shameful crime. And he was pronounced guilty. What do you think? He lost his faith. We Asians always got faith. Save faith. He lost his faith. No more faith. Started down again a prisoner. But when he has grace on your life, he says, and he ended up the prime minister. That's the grace of God. Isn't God good? It's good. Give him a clap offering. The grace of God. The grace of God is needed in our life. Every step up means a step into us. You cannot put out what God did not put in. You cannot give out what God has not given you. You must receive from God in your spirit first before you can produce out. Paul says in Galatians 2 about his apostleship ministry. He said God called him to be an apostle, not of men. Not of men, but he says, God who works in him. In him. God put it in his spirit and it comes out in his work. And all of his life, he made this statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Then we meet quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I believe it's verse 10. Yes. Verse 10, it says, But by the, what's the special word again? Grace of God. I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, He recognized grace, but the grace of God, which was with me. The grace of God, which was with me. I am what I am because of the grace of God. You are where you are, in your natural position today, in your spiritual position today, because of the grace of God. Let me read it this way, in verse 10. But by the gift of God. And that conveys a layman's term to us. By the gift of God, I am what I am. And His gift toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the gift of God which was with me. Do you see your natural blessings as the gift of God? You must. Do you see your spiritual blessings as the gift of God? You must. For the moment you see it as your own, the moment you take it and say, it is my own, pride creeps in. And when you don't acknowledge it as a gift by grace, you start going down. For God receives the proud. He receives the pride, the proud. And all pride comes right before a fall. When you see pride, you know a fall is going to come. A fall will come. God's principle. We must acknowledge all things as by His grace, by His gift in our life. For no man can receive anything, and that's a powerful statement, anything, whether it be natural or spiritual, when Pontius Pilate faced Jesus at the trial, let's say, don't you know that I have the power? He said that, Pontius Pilate. He had government power to crucify you or to set you free. Jesus replied, you could have not what you have, except it comes from God. He reminded Pontius Pilate where he got all those authority and blessings. He reminded Pilate. He says, you could have no power and authority over me except it be given by God. Where you are in a natural, in your social position, is a result of His gift. Not because of who you are. One day Nebuchadnezzar think otherwise. Now he didn't know God yet. He's not a believer. He looked at all his hanging gardens. He goes around, looks at all the flowers, and woo, nice. Smells all the flowers. Look at all his great architecture and buildings. Look at all the lovely flowers. Say, And he says, have not I made it? Suddenly there was a voice from heaven. And it thundered. And he said, this day you shall eat grass like the beast. You shall be humbled because Nebuchadnezzar, you did not acknowledge your kingdom came as a gift of God to you. I don't care what kind of natural power, authority, social status you may be in. But you could not be where you are except it was a gift from God. The day you think that you got it by your goodness, by your cleverness, by your smartness, by your ability, is the day you begin to go down and fall. But if you acknowledge a gift from God and live with it as such, and your spiritual position. When God calls you, whether you be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, the moment you sing and say, oh, God is using me because of my great ability. That's the next thing that will happen. You will begin to fall. And in 33 we have seen how there are many men of God who has risen. Some of them mighty prophets, like William Branham, a mighty prophet of God. He did the works of Jesus so real that the Bible tells us that his gift was a gift from God. Not because of who he was. But one day he began to associate with the wrong people. And he thought he was not a prophet, he thought he was the prophet of the last day. The Elijah who is to come. And on that time, he started his fall. Later, about 1965, he died in a car crash. He died. Kenneth Hagin received a prophecy and he gave it to Gordon Lindsay before William Mahan died. And said, God is going to remove the leader of the healing revival because he has gone off track. A year later, William Mahan died in a car crash. Before the turn of the 20th century, from the 1890s right on to the 1900. John Alexander Davy, he left Australia. He went to start a mighty healing center in California, Los Angeles. And he started a mighty meeting. Such miracles happened in his church. He uses all the crutches of people to make Christ is the healer. Imagine that. So many healings. Until one day, he thought, a man told him and the devil told him, he was the one God was going to use. The only one God was going to use. The main one God is going to use before Jesus came in. And he began to talk that he is the Elijah. To prepare the whole church. He was the king of the church. Before God, Jesus is the king. We are all humble servants. And before long, he lost his strength, he lost his mind. He almost went mad. And he died. I don't care what God called you to do. God may call you to win 1 billion souls. God may call you to win 1 million souls. God may call you to be great. Meetings and go to evangelize nations. No man can do anything except that he be a gift from God. And this is what it will do to you. If you recognize everything as a gift of God, prosperity is a gift of His grace. Remember Paul says, grace. This grace, this gift. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this. And everything you receive in life, whether natural or spiritual, you say, God, I thank you. This is coming to me not because of who I am. There's something about the attitude that makes you more humble. Oh, to think that the next time you receive a check of $10,000, you hold it in your hand and say, God, this is not because of my good work. Lord, thank you. It will not make you proud. It will make you more humble. Because you say, God, this is coming to me not because I deserve it, but because you love me. You are merciful to me. Not because of my ability, cleverness, smartness, but because of your gift. I receive my Lord. Something in you humble. When God used you mightily in any area, God calling for you began to flow stronger and stronger. When you see the sick heal, sometimes I hear people share testimony the wrong way. You know how? They say, oh, I prayed for so and so and she was healed. Huh. And I did this and that happened, and I prayed 10 hours and this happened, I did this and that. You're not giving testimony. I don't know what they call it. You're giving yourself glory. And sometimes it is a case where sometimes one sister will testify and talk about how God has done it, God has done that. Another will come and say, you know, I prayed, what, you know? Self creeping up. Oh, that we will reach the day to realize whatever happens through your hands, whatever happens through your prayers, whatever happens through what you do, is because of the gift of God working through you. Because of the grace of God working through you. When you see a person healed through your hands, through your prayers, through your ministry, you acknowledge and say, God, I thank you. You chose, you called by your mercy. Thank you, God. But as we are, we don't deserve anything. We are not smart, we are not clever, we don't deserve anything, Lord. But yet, because you love us, you give us grace. You give us a gift that works through our lives. And it makes you more humble. The more you humble, the more you receive. And I just give you the other points without teaching on them. The second point was that after we receive grace, we must also, number two, be faithful to the gift or the grace we receive. You have to be faithful to your gift and your calling. Judas was not responsible for his grace. After you receive grace, you must be responsible for your grace. You have to answer to God. When you come before the judgment seat, God is going to say, I gave you this gift. What have you done? So Judas fell. And Acts 1 tells us that they chose another one. They say, they quoted the Psalms, his office. Now whose office? Judas' office. Judas' calling was taken over by another one. He was not faithful and responsible. We had to be faithful and responsible to the grace given to us. So the Bible exhorts those who are rich, says, be merciful, generous. The book of James. Bible exhorts those who are in authority, love as your own, as Christ loved the church. The Bible exhorts us to be responsible for the gift God has given. And thirdly, the grace of God can be increased in two ways. Through the study of the Word of God, 2 Peter chapter 1. That grace and peace be multiplied. You want to see grace in your life? Multiply? Study the Word. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Can be increased. And grace can be, there is a gift of God in your life, can multiply. You can either be a double portion prophet like Elijah, or single portion prophet like Elijah. You're still in the same gift, but the multiplication of your gift. Whatever calling God has given you, you can multiply to the knowledge of His Word. You can multiply through seeking God. Remember what the Bible says? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. For He gives what? Grace. See, we need to ask sometimes. Remember Moses when he stood with God in Exodus chapter 33. He says in chapter 32, he says, God, I want to see your face. And God replied, Exodus chapter 32 and 33, you can read that story. God says, you have found grace in my sight. And it was not something that was planned in their full sense, but something that Moses desired more. If Moses did not ask to see God's glory, we would never read the story of how he came down with his face glowing like a light bulb. Who initiated it? Moses. God didn't ask Moses, Moses, would you like to see my glory? No. It was Moses from his heart. He has known God and he wants to know more of God. He said, God, I want to see you. God says, all right, I give you another special gift. I want you to realize, don't be satisfied with the gift you receive. Don't be satisfied with the grace you receive. Enter into that chamber. Enter into his presence. Humble yourself even more. And ask, call on me, God says. Call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things. Isaiah 64 verse 4, they who wait on the Lord, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who wait on him. There are, under third point here, there are some areas of grace that are for your asking, that are beyond the purpose and the written in the quote plan of God for your life. Now God knows you're going to ask, but they are a special something more. Special, I can put it, something more. Grace can be multiplied. Grace can be increased in your life. In number three, through the word, through your asking. Through your asking from God. God, like Moses, I want to see your glory. God, I want to do more for you. God, listen to him, for we have not even touched the depth of his grace. The depth of his grace. Ah, his grace for our life. His grace for our life. Let's look at our final words in Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll close. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to know, we have not touched the fullness of God's grace. We have not touched the fullness of God's grace. If you want to be a world evangelist, you have to receive the grace to be a world evangelist. If you want to be a businessman that sows into the kingdom of God millions, you have to receive the grace for it before you can do it. Grace must come first before the works. Ephesians chapter 2. What beautiful words these are. Beautiful words reserved for us. Says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace he had been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let's stop there for a moment in verse 6. Notice three times the word together. Made us alive together, raised us together, made us sit together. And all three is in the past tense.
Because Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, God has blessed also past tense. Brethren, everything that God wants the body of Christ to achieve on planet Earth has been given in Christ. Everything that God wants the body of Christ to do, the power to do it, the ability to do it, is already done in Christ. Unless you see it done in the Spirit and receive it, you will never receive it in the natural. It did not say He will seat you in the heavenly places, but He has already made you past tense with Him. And you must realize, you must see. May God open your eyes to see and comprehend the greatness of His grace and the gift that He gives. There is no gift. There is no gift, brethren. And this gift He don't even give to His angels. Even the angels don't receive this grace and this gift. What can you ask more from God your Father? What greater thing, what greater purpose, what greater wisdom, what greater ability, what more can you ask from God than to be at His right hand? Can you think of anything more you can ask? You will find nothing. That's the best. That's the closest. And the Word of God is telling us, He has given us His right hand. Jesus is sitting at the right hand. You are seated with Him. That's grace, the greatest gift you ever seen. The greatest measure of grace. You're not even in the outer court. You're not even in the middle court. You're at His right hand. That's grace, the greatest grace you've seen. I can't think of anything more powerful, anything with greater authority than the fact that He has given us the gift with Jesus Christ. And brethren, you don't even have to ask. You have only to receive, because it has already been done. When Christ reigns from the dead, He will die. When Christ sat at the right hand of God, He did it for you and for me. And you and I are sitting at the right hand of God. Not really. We were and we are. Everything is so different. There's not one more you can find. Like Paul, because he saw so great a revelation, he saw how great the riches of the glory of God's grace. He saw all the wonderful things that God has in store. All of your spiritual needs, all of your mental needs, all of your physical needs have already been given in Christ. He saw all these things and his heart was so full. He wanted the Ephesians to know this. He could not pray, God give it to them, but he prayed, God open their eyes that they may see. He prayed in Ephesians 1 verse 17, 18, 19, he says, I pray after Paul and the vision of the risen Christ, after Paul saw how Jesus is made rich,
You don't have to ask for prosperity, you already receive prosperity. You don't ask for healing, you already been given healing.
You are healed. You have been transformed in Christ.
Paul saw all that Christ has done.
And Paul said, oh, I pray for you, Ephesians,
that God will give you the spirit that will open your inner eyes, that you will see the riches of His glory, that you will see the inheritance He has already given in Christ to the saints, that you will see the greatness of His power, the same power that He raised Jesus with, the same power has already been given.
We only need to receive. The gift has been given. What are you doing? We only need to thank Him, praise Him, and receive. Every heart being prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. In His presence. Thank you, Lord. Oh, meditate on all that He has given you. Meditate on the riches that He has given you. Oh, so many of God's people struggle, and keep asking God again. If they only see that it's done in Christ. Father, show your people the greatness. One more thing. If you will see that it's done in Christ, you will walk out of this place to conquer, more than a conqueror, to possess your inheritance. If you see that it's already done in Christ, you will be free